Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Canto 10, Chapter 2, Text 28. Tvam eka eva asya sata prasuti tvam sanindanam tvam anugraha Svat Mayaya. Samvrita Chetasa. Tvam Pashanti. Nat Nana. Vipashchita. Yay. Tvameka evasya sata prasutis. Tvam sanidhanam tvam anugrahascha. Tvam mayaya samvrita chetascham. Pashanti nanana vipaschito ye. Tvameka evasya sata prasutis. Tvam sanitanam tvam anugrahascha. Tvam mayaya samvrita chetascha sastvam. Pashyanti nanana vipaschito ye. Tvam eka evasya sata prasutis. Tvam sanidhanam tvam anugrahascha. Tvam mayaya samvrita chetasastvam. Pashyanti nanana vipaschito ye.
Someone else, please.
Tvameka vevasya sata prasutis. Tvam sadinanam tvam anugrahascha. Tvam maya samvrita chetasastvam. Pashyanti nanana vipaschitos ye. Tvameka evasya sata prasutis. Tvam sadinam tvam anugrahascha. Tvam maya samvrita chetasastvam. Pashyanti nanana vipaschito ye.
Ladies, please.
Tvameka Tameka evatsya tet tutis. Kamina nam tamaka kresha. Tvam you. O Lord, Eka, being one without a second, you are everything. Eva, indeed, Atsya Sata, of this cosmic manifestation now visible. Prasuti, the original source. Tvam, your lordship. Sannidhanam, the conservation of all such energy when everything is annihilated. Tvam, your lordship, anugrahacha, and the maintainer, tvat maya, maya, by your illusory external energy. Samvrita Chetasa, those who is intelligence is covered by such illusory energy. Tvam, unto you, Prashanti, observe. Nana, many varieties. Na, not. Vipastrita, learn scholars or devotees. Yea, who are, translation, by His Divine Grace, Ace, and purport, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The efficient cause of this material world, manifested with its many varieties, as the original tree, is you, O Lord. You are also the maintainer of the material world. And after annihilation, you are the one whom everything is conserved. Those who are covered by your external energy cannot see you behind this manifestation, but theirs is not the vision of learned devotees. Purport. Various demigods, beginning from Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and even Vishnu, are supposed to be the creator, maintainer, and annihilator of this material world. But actually, they are not. The fact is that everything is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, manifest in varieties of energy. Ekam evad vidyam brahma. There is no second existence. Those who are truly vipaschit, learned, who are those who have reached the platform of understanding and observing the Supreme Personality of Godhead in any condition of life. Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santaksadaiva ridhayeshu valokayanti. Brahma Samhita 538. Learn devotees accept even conditions of distress as representing the presence of the Supreme Lord. When a devotee is in distress, he sees that the Lord has appeared as distress just to relieve or purify the devotee from the contamination of the material world. While one is within this material world, one is in various conditions, and therefore a devotee sees a condition of distress as but another feature of the Lord. Very important instructions Srila Prabhupada is speaking here. Tate nukampam shukshamikshamana. Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 14th chapter, verse number 8. A devotee, therefore, regards distress as a great favor of the Lord because he understands that he is being cleansed of contamination. Tesham eham samudarta mrityu samsara sangarat. Bhagavad Gita, 12th chapter, text 7. The appearance of distress is a negative process intended to give the devotee relief from this material world, which is called mrityu samsara, or the constant repetition of birth and death. To save a surrendered soul from the repeated birth and death, the Lord purifies him of contamination by offering him a little distress. This cannot be understood by a non-devotee, but a devotee can see this because he is vipaschit, or learned. A non-devotee, therefore, is perturbed in distress, but a devotee welcomes distress as another feature of the Lord. Sarvam kalavidam brahma. A devotee can actually see that there is only the Supreme Personality of Godhead and no second entity. Ekam mevad vityam. There is only the Lord who presents himself in different energies. Persons who are not in real knowledge think that Brahma is the creator, Vishnu the maintainer, and Shiva the annihilator, and that the different demigods are intended to fulfill diverse purposes. Thus they create diverse purposes and worship various demigods to have these purposes fulfilled. Kamasachaya Ritigyanam Prapajante Nadevitaha. A devotee, however, knows that these various demigods are but different parts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that these parts need not be worshipped. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 9:23, Yepa Pyanya Devata Bhakta Yajanti Shradhaya Shradhayan Vitaha. Te pi mam eva konteya yajantya vidi purvakam. Whatever a man may sacrifice to other gods, O son of Kunti, is really meant for me alone. But this is offered without true understanding. There is no need to worship the demigods, for this is avidhi, not in order. Simply by surrendering oneself at the lotus feet of Krishna, one can completely discharge one's duties. There is no need to worship various deities or demigods. These various divinities are observed by the mudhas, fools, who are bewildered by the three modes of material nature. Chubir guna mayar bavar ab sarvam idam jagat. Such fools cannot understand that the real source of everything is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mohitam nabijan nati mamebyam param avyayam. Not being disturbed by the Lord's various features, one should concentrate upon and worship the Supreme Lord. Mamekam Sharanam Raja. This should be the guiding principle of one's life. Om Agnanatamanandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Omilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So here in 1977, as Srila Prabhupada is closing in on the end of his time here on this planet, in this material world, you can see how strongly and elaborate these purports are in this canto. And Srila Prabhupada is giving some wonderful instructions for all of us to imbibe within our lives, to use as our guiding, to guide us through our life and ultimately into the end of life. How to think. He makes some very strong points in this purport about devotees being in distress. And there's many examples of devotees in our parampara who have appeared to be in distress. Srila Prabhupada is a very good example of one who externally appeared to have been in distress, but having taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead at all times, we can see what he has done for us, what he has done to establish the Krishna consciousness movement. We see Haridas Thakur being beaten in different marketplaces. Who else was in distress and took shelter of Krishna? Who else can give an example? Draupadi. Here's another wonderful example. Draupadi. And what did Draupadi do? Just threw up her arms and begged for the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, chanting Hare Krishna and taking shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. And what did Krishna do? Supplied Draupadi with unlimited sari. So those examples are here for us, and we should not forget those. There's a nice verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada touched upon it in this purport that I would like to read. And read the purport too. Actually, before I do that, I happen to have opened up the shloka book here, and a verse is right in front of me that supports and speaks about what we are speaking about here. Samastrita ye parapalavam palavam, mahat padam punyan yashomararer, bhavambudir. Vatsya padam 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 yad vipadam natesham. For those who have accepted the boat of the lotus feet of the Lord, who is the shelter of the cosmic manifestation and is famous as Murari, the enemy of the Mura demon, the ocean of the material world is like the water contained in a calf's hoofprint. Their goal is Parampadam, Vaikuntha, a place where there is no material miseries, not the place where there is danger at every step. So this is Lord Brahma's prayers to Lord Krishna. We've seen the ocean, how large the ocean is. We've all flown in airplanes before, and we look down and we see how large the ocean is. So that's compared to the material world. And you can imagine that that is all danger down there. Looking in the water, there's sharks, there's dangerous species of life that will kill at any moment. Even very small fish this size, piranhas, can eat the whole body in a matter of moments. But for one who has taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, that large ocean becomes very small, just like in the hoof print of a calf. A hoof print of a calf filled with water is very small. And so the ocean, the dangerous ocean, shrinks to that size. So there's an instruction given. Again, this was Lord Brahma's prayers to Lord Krishna. Tate nukampam shukshamikshamano bujanam ekatvam kirtam vipakam ridvag vadbubir vididam namaste jijeta yo mukti pade sadaya bak. Lord Brahma is saying, my dear Lord, one who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy on him, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds and offering you respectful obeisances with his heart, words, and body, is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim. In the purport to that Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 14th chapter, verse number 8, Srila Prabhupada writes, Srila Sridhar Swami explains in his commentary that just as a legitimate son has to simply remain alive to gain an inheritance from his father, one who simply remains alive in Krishna consciousness, following the regulative principles of bhakti yoga, automatically becomes eligible to receive the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, he will be promoted to the kingdom of God. The word shukshamikshamana indicates that a devotee earnestly awaits the mercy of the Supreme Lord even while suffering the painful effects of previous sinful activities. So there are times when we're feeling the pain and the reactions from our previous activities, from sinful activities that we have performed in this material world. So this is Krishna's mercy to actually help us to remember him, just like Draupadi. Of course, she wasn't sinful, and she wasn't getting the results of some sinful activities, but it's a good example of how we need to take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, indirectly, this is also there for the non-devotees. I remember once being on Sankirtan, and I was sitting in the van taking prasadam in the back of the parking lot, and it was somewhat on a hill, and I was looking out at the whole parking lot and taking prasadam, and one lady came to her vehicle and opened up the back of her station wagon, and she had a child in the buggy that she had all of her groceries. So she wheeled up to the car and opened up the back of her station wagon and started to take out the groceries. Now, she had this infant sitting in the little seat there. And I was thinking to myself, she's not paying attention. She's now having a conversation with the person that she's with. That grocery buggy could at any moment, because it was somewhat on a hill, could start to slide and roll into the parking lot. Well, I was right. She's standing there talking, and the buggy started to go down the hill slowly. She turned to get her groceries out of the grocery cart, and the grocery cart was not there. So instead of just having some conversation, she now screams out loudly, "Oh my God!" So she's taking shelter of of God. So I was thinking to myself that here, Krishna, who's in control of everything, Krishna is giving this person an opportunity to take shelter of God in a very distressed situation. Maharaj, thank you very much for coming. So there's some wonderful instructions here that we need to hold tight and keep tight to in our hearts. That there's so many difficulties in this world. Even we've spoken about the difficulties coming from our own mind and body, or other living entities, or the weather, adiyatmik, adibodhik, adidaivik. Our minds, they give us so much trouble. Our minds think that people are thinking about us in a certain way, and the person's not even thinking about us. Or a situation that came up, and we're thinking that we know exactly how the situation came up. And our minds are so disturbed. It's like a mental civil war we're having with ourselves. How many times does that happen to us? Or our bodies are aching, or our legs, or our knees, or tiredness. We're experiencing the fatigue. Or we have an interaction with a devotee, a very challenging interaction with a devotee. And we think, why are you doing this? And then we get into an argument, or we get into a fight, Prabhus, everything that Krishna does, everything that happens to us, we're chanting 16 rounds a day. We're coming to the morning program. Everything is being arranged by the supreme will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead for our advancement and our purification in Krishna consciousness. So don't look at it that, this person is in Maya. This person is so difficult to deal with. No, actually, it's for our benefit so we can make spiritual advancement. There's a reason that it's happening. Or even for non-devotees, those who don't even know who Krishna is. He's putting people in a position to frustrate them. So they're not getting any pleasure from the material world. And they're trying so hard. And we see this time and time again. It's so frustrating for them. And on some levels, they understand this. They realize this in some levels. I remember once when I was driving limousine in New York City, and I pulled up to one very tall building on Wall Street, and there was one client, had a lot of money. I may have mentioned this in my class some time ago, but I'll repeat it again because it illustrates the point. And so we were speaking, and a lot of times people, they open up to me and speak to me about their challenges in life or their problems in life. And so we're in the limousine, and he's explaining to me all the challenges and difficulties that he's having in his life. He's got a very nice family. He has nice, expensive cars. He's got two houses, a summer house. He's got another house in Larchmont, New York, which is a very, very expensive place to live. Wonderful children, wonderful wife. He was going down the whole list of all the wonderful things that he had. And I said, wow, that must be quite a nice life. I says, how many hours a week do you work? So he works, 12, 13, 14 hours a day, Monday through Friday. Saturday he has to come in and work, half a day. And then Sunday he can't do anything because he's so exhausted. So then I kind of was leading the conversation. I said, well, so how is your life? How do you like it? He says, you don't want my life. So In every way possible, Krishna is trying to not only help us sincere devotees with our growth in Krishna consciousness and to make spiritual advancement, but also he's very good at frustrating those that are seeking after material sense gratification. So I'll read a little bit more of this purport from the verse I was just speaking, Tate Nukampam Shukshikshamano. The word Shukshikshamana indicates that a devotee, I read the sentence, but I'll continue it. The word Shukshikshamana indicates that a devotee earnestly awaits the mercy of the Supreme Lord even while suffering the painful effects of previous sinful activities. Lord Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that a devotee who fully surrenders unto him is no longer liable to suffer the reactions of his previous karma. However, because in his mind a devotee may still maintain the remnants of his previous sinful mentality, the Lord removes the last vestiges of the enjoying spirit by giving his devotee punishments that may sometimes resentful sinful reactions. The purpose of the entire creation of God is to rectify the living entity's tendency to enjoy without the Lord. And therefore, the particular punishment given for a sinful activity is specifically designed to curtail the mentality that produced the activity. Although a devotee has surrendered to the Lord's devotional service, until he is completely perfect in Krishna consciousness, he may maintain a slight inclination to enjoy the false happiness of this world. The Lord therefore creates a particular situation to eradicate this remaining enjoying spirit. So remember that. The Lord therefore creates a particular situation to eradicate this remaining enjoying spirit. This unhappiness suffered by a sincere devotee is not technically a karmic reaction. It is rather the Lord's special mercy for inducing his devotee to completely let go of the material world and return back home to Godhead. Again, Krishna is doing everything for our purification. And this process of Krishna consciousness, which there are many aspects to it, one verse that comes to mind is how to develop taste for chanting Hare Krishna, because that is the very beginning of our day. It is the chanting of our 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna mantra. So in the nectar of instructions, Sya Krishna Nama Saritapta Vidya Pitopitasya Rasinasyana Rochikanu, it's said there by Rupa Goswami that by carefully chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish will awaken. So I can't help but think how important it is to carefully, that word careful is an important word here, to carefully chant. And not only carefully chant the Maha Mantra, but carefully chant whatever we may be singing in the morning. Do we know exactly what we're chanting? Are we being careful to pronounce each word carefully? I've been following closely the prayers to Tulsi Devi. And I was amazed to see how many times I used to sing, what is that one? A nirvedana dara sankir anu gato karo. You know, it's kara. So just to give you a point, just give you a point of reference here. And I hear that. I hear that in myself. So now I'm taking time to go back and pay very close attention to each word. Am I singing Kara or am I singing Karo? So I would encourage everyone, because we don't have enough time, and at some point I wanted to do that. I've been thinking about this, to go through the Guru Vastika prayers. Do we know what we're singing? Do we know the word for word? Of course, we get benefit for singing Samsara Dava Naralila Loka. We get benefit for singing that. But do we know what it is we're actually singing? When we sing the Nisringadeva prayers, are we singing the right words, or are we singing words that are not correct? Even sometimes words that might mean something else that we're asking Krishna for that has nothing to do with even what the prayer is actually written as. You know, are we chanting the Brahma Samhita before the deities in the morning? Are we singing the right words? Are we pronouncing them? Do we know what we're saying? I'll be the first one to say that I don't know everything that I'm chanting, nor do I even chant them, all the mantras correctly. So just as from a word of encouragement, take the time, even if it's every day, just, okay, I'm just going to do the Guru Vastika prayers. I'm just going to learn the first verse, and I'm going to learn the translation. Or as Dravida Prabhu told me one time, because I asked him, what is the best way to learn verses? Because he knows so many verses. He says the best way to learn verses is to learn the word for word. And then gradually what happens is each word starts to appear in different verses in different places. And it's easier to put together the verse. But little by little, step by step, just take time, even if it's just the first verse of the Guru Vastika prayers that we sing in the morning, and even if it just takes you 1 week or 2 weeks, just go through it, pay very close attention to the word for word, pay very close attention to the translation. So if someone comes up to you and says, Yasya prasada bhagava prasada yasya prasada nagati katopi. What does that mean? It can just roll off your tongue like you don't even have to think about it. So, just some words of encouragement there so we can dive deeper into Srila Prabhupada's books and what Srila Prabhupada has spent so much time, even at the towards the end of his life in 1977, look at these purports that Srila Prabhupada has written. You would think that someone at that age or in that condition of life, that he wouldn't take the time to do this. But look at these realizations. Look at the depth of what Srila Prabhupada has gone through here. So I want to thank everybody for coming to Srimad Bhagavatam class. Thank you, Archita Prabhu, for inviting me to give class, though it was at the last minute. So we can stop here, and I hope everyone has a wonderful day in Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna.